GM of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, dressed up. You didn't need to.
Knowing this company, yeah.
No, you just come as you are, right? We're like church. Just come as you are. So training camp comes and goes. I'm sure the players are relieved. I'm guessing you are as well. Did any surprises one way or the other?
Yeah, there was a few. I mean, you're right. We're excited to sort of get on with it. Mm. You the process, you get excited for camp, and then about a couple of days into it, you're sort of hoping you don't get any injuries and trying to get through it. But yeah, there was a few surprises, and some of them not only necessarily that are here with us. I thought some of our young players, you look back even to rookie camp, I thought all of our draft class from this year showed very well, you know, and that doesn't necessarily mean they made the team, but they all, I think, going even back to Penticton, had a good showing. You know, some of the players that were either turning first-year pros or had a first-year pro under their belt had good camps. I look at a Garnet Hathaway, to me, you know, he's close.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, probably, you know, as people know now, as we head in, Brett Kulak still being here, where you may have said going into camp or where he played last year, you know, his chances of making the team were not great. I think he's at a terrific camp and continues to play well.
What's happened with him specifically? Because not a lot of guys will go junior, A, East Coast. Usually, yeah. That's you kind of know where you're headed.
A couple things. To me, the biggest step a player takes is when he comes back to training camp after that first year pro. Because, you know, as Rhett would know, you come out of junior, you think you know what pro hockey is all about, and that first year is a wake-up call. And, you know, from strength and conditioning to just the grind of a season to playing against men to all those types of things, that you learn so much in year one. You know, we push them pretty hard to have good summers, and you come back and you've just got that confidence. So I think he went through that. The other one, and it's been talked about, is, you know, you look at his season last year, and yeah, he spent some time in the East Coast League. Now that's not always a death sentence. Now, is there players, you know, is that league full of players that are going to be future NHLers? No, but it's still a good league, and for him it was a necessary step. He needed to go and play a lot of minutes, get confidence. They don't necessarily like that, to hear that when we go through the process, but I think that was a really important process for him, and he's come in, he's played with a maturity, he's played with poise, you know, he's got the physical attributes, he can think the game, he can skate. And he looks much more comfortable out there and much more confident. So he's had a terrific camp.
Coast is funny. Like, there's not a lot of guys on those rosters. You just have some nights where they field four defense. I mean, if you want a kid just to straight play, there's no place better.
Yeah, and it's, you know, for years it was, you know, tough guys and goalies that came out of the Coast, right? And but you're absolutely right. You go down there, you can play a ton of minutes. You know, he went to Adirondack last year. And you could just see the decision making, everything was a little step off. And he was, quite frankly, he needed to mature physically. He was a boy playing with men. So it gets him to the level where you're not hanging on the cliff. And that's, to me, always there's an adjustment in speed. But if you're at the American League level, or if those players that are AHL players coming up to the NHL, and you're just in survival mode, like the game's just happening too fast and you're hanging on for dear life, then you've got to go somewhere else and play. And that's sort of where he was at. He was hanging on for dear life in the American League, went to the East Coast, played a ton, had success, got confidence, you know, and actually had a real strong finish now when he went back to Adirondack last year. So, and the other piece for Brett, he's a real, you know, he's a poster child for putting the work in the summer. Brett, you know, as a number of our young players do, he was here all summer. He worked with Ryan Van Aston. He changed his body and, you know, touch wood, we're seeing the results.
How many guys aren't doing that
as
a young kid? I mean, you would, I'm guessing, find it a rarity for a kid not to.
Yeah.
I mean, when I got drafted, they asked me to go to Florida for a week, and I said no.
Yeah.
I think it would be unheard of in today's world.
Well, and you know what it is, Rhett, too, is it's, yeah, you're right. It's becoming more commonplace. And what we say to the players is, you know, my message to them isn't we're asking you or telling you. To me, this, we've got this opportunity. Why wouldn't you invest in your career? Like, that's what you're doing. Your summer is, you know, that's you. To me, this is an investment as a young player in your career, and giving you a chance to have success and, you know, giving, you know, we touch all the assets that we have in terms of the strength and fitness. But it's, you're right, it's becoming more and more, and the work the players put in the summer is.
So I know, and I know that back in the day, that was a big sticky point for the union,
mm-hmm.
was how much the time off, right?
Yeah.
When the season's over, you guys, the team, stay away, let the player go do what he wants kind of thing. Is that still part of it? Is it change? Is it a moving piece?
Yeah, no, there's still regulations, and we can't demand and say, okay, you know, player XYZ, you have to be here. It's in some ways, it starts... We've got a lot of guys that stay here, and then we've got some young players that are local. And I think what they do is they see the results of others. So they know the work that Ryan Van Asten has done. They know the facilities in terms of they work out of Winsport. There's worse places to be in the summer than Calgary. So there's all those types of things. But there is regulations in terms of us saying it's mandatory. You got to be here. The player has to choose. Wherever he goes, but I think more and more of the players are getting it to say, hey, how do I invest? How can I spend my summer wisely to give myself the best chance in the fall?
Brad Treliving, our guest here on Boomer and Warner in the Morning. I was thinking, how am I going to get you in a corner? How am I going to, you don't want you to slip around on me? Because I want to ask about the goalies. It's one of the main topics. It was before camp, it was through camp, and it's now as we head into the season. You have three goalies. We know you don't want three. We know your coach doesn't want three with waivers, and we'll talk about Byron and Raymond in a moment. As we sit, is it a situation where you know which two you want and you're just waiting for it to play out? Is it a situation where you still really don't know who you want and you're waiting for guys to prove themselves? What's the closer of the two scenarios, I guess?
Well, we like all three. And, oh, geez. And there we go. End of the goalie talk. No, we like all three, and there's still some different, you know, part of building your rosters. It's, you know, there's different variables. You get into injuries, the waiver situation, all those types of things. We like all three goaltenders, but we're going to let this play out for a little bit. Now, that play out for a little bit might be tomorrow. It might be a week from now.
Yeah.
We know that three doesn't work long term. And we've said that. We've said that many times.
Have you put a time frame on it?
I have, sort of internally. Boom, I'm not going to share that, but I have internally, because it can't be a situation where it starts to, you know, our situation right now is a little bit, I wouldn't say unique. We're not the only one that goes through it in terms of, we've got some injuries, and, you know, we've got a few different things that are our opening day roster. And I know there's so much energy and calories that get wasted on the opening day roster, which could change minutes after you submit your opening day roster. But some of the injuries that we have right now maybe allows us to have a different look in terms of carrying three for a period of time.
Because that was Juris last year, right? Yeah. People were like, how could you send this guy down? He had an unbelievable preseason. Right. He was back in, what, about a week?
Two games.
Yeah.
He played two games down there. So this isn't one that I foresee, and I'll choose my words carefully because I don't want to be coming back in February and saying, hey, we still got three goaltenders. But the plan isn't to have three here, but we're going to go through it. There are three guys that we all think are capable of playing well. They're all in different stages. You know, we're going to take as much time as we need, but we also know that it's not, we don't want to sit here for the next 82 games and have three sitting there. So does that adequately dance
well,
around the question?
Well, it kind of does, because you have Gillies in the American League. Is it safe to say you want him to play the lion's share down there?
Yeah, we want him getting games. He needs to play, you know, John, he was terrific in Penticton.
Yeah.
And then he got bumped here. We put him through the protocol. He took a little bit of time. He's been back and full speed down in Stockton. But it's a combination of things. You know, three's too many right now, but you never need an extra goaltender until you need one. And so we want to manage that process. But John's a young guy. He needs to play minutes. He needs to play, you know, he's coming from college, which is a weekend league, and he's going to, you know, the pro league where, you know, you play on, you know, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So he's got to go through that process of playing back-to-backs and travel and so on and so forth. So he'll get his games in down there, and we'll manage the situation as best we can.
How would you characterize the marketplace if I'm a GM out there talking about goalies? Is everyone full? Have you seen it hotter or colder? Where is it as compared to normal?
Well, they're liars, right? Like, they all lie to you. So you got to take that at face value. you know, the goaltending situation, at the end of the day, you look at it, there's 60 NHL jobs. To me, there's more than 60 NHL goaltenders out there. So the difficulty in that situation, is there some places that maybe need somebody? Yeah. Now you have to take into consideration financial situations. Where are they cap-wise?
Yeah.
But it's the one position where it can change quickly. You know, one injury, right? You all of a sudden, you don't need somebody on Monday. You may have 13 forwards, 14 forwards, seven defensemen. It's not as critical. You can get through that. Well, everything's rosy on Monday, Tuesday. You know, the world's coming to an end because you have an injury. So the market can change. At this point right now, there's nobody banging down our door saying they need a goaltender. And we're not actively looking to say, let's drive somebody out of town. We'll see how it plays out.
You did have two, but then you brought back a third. You didn't, you know.
Starting tomorrow.
Hey, you didn't need to. Necessarily. Anyway, we'll move on. the waiver process, I get the feeling, I know, because I think you've already touched on it. I think some people were surprised to see Paul Byron go on there. He's a guy that just was qualified by you, Mason Raymond, on there as well. I guess because it doesn't assume, well, this afternoon they'll be in Stockton. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams will put players on waivers and keep them around. Do you have a strategy if both clear today?
Yeah, we do. And we'll let the process play out. You know, at 10 a.m. this morning, we'll find out sort of the results of that. So I'll reserve comment on that process other than to say, you know, both players, we like both guys. And this is, you know, this in some ways is a result as you grow as an organization, as you add depth, as you get deeper, you have to make decisions. We've talked many times. In a cap world, you can't keep everyone as much as, you know, and ultimately as you build your team, your changes are going to occur. So, we'll see what happens with both players. Both guys are good people. And you know, we'll see what happens here in the next couple of hours. Now, as you said though, Boom, some people inherently think once you're placed on waivers, you know, it's adios if you clear. Now, what it also provides for us right now is some flexibility. And that's what you need with your roster right now. The one biggest change when and we knew this in the summer, even going to last year, in terms of the roster building this year as opposed to last year, we still have a very young team and all those types of things. We don't have two-way roster flexibility as much as we did last year. You look at a guy like Michael Ferland, okay? Two-way contract last year, non-waiver player. You go through the list of guys, you know, Granlund was here, you know, Juris at the beginning of the year, you know, so on and so forth. You know, a lot of those players have either reached waiver eligibility in terms of their rights. Their contracts have ended and now they're on one-way contracts. So you have to make sure you're keeping some flexibility in different ways. And then Marcus Granlund, a perfect example. Marcus was assigned the other day. I thought Marcus had a good camp. Now, did he push to push somebody out? Not at this point. But the reality is, and I was very honest with him, waivers always plays a role.
Yeah.
You know, whether you have rights or not, he doesn't need to require waivers, and that obviously plays a role in it. So that flexibility also plays a role in when we look at the waiver process.
The one thing, too, and here I am, you know, blowing smoke, but the one thing that I kind of, at least to me, one of the first things was that Byron was a guy that just got a contract this offseason and Mason the year before. There's no stubborn pride, I guess, with you to, it's not even admitting mistakes, but I know there's a lot of GMs that they would just never do that because it would be, well, why'd you sign them? This is what's best for the team and you're prepared to do it.
Yeah. No, you have to, you know, you have to make decisions. That's the process you go back with, you know, in Paul's case, you know, Paul is you can play in this league. He's a good player. He adds an element of speed, elite speed. He's had to battle some injuries. Not a big guy, but he brings an element. I'm a big Paul Byron fan. He missed a lot of time last year. So we, at that time, we wanted to protect the asset, got a contract done with Paul. At the end of the day, you go through camp and you feel, as you talk with your coach, you know, what's our best lineup and what gives us the best chance to have success, and you have to make those decisions.
The personal side, like you said, we sit here and we look at cap numbers and cap space and one-way, two-way waivers and that. There is the part of, you know, say like a Paul Byron, he's been with this team for a number of years now. Mason Raymond is a proud guy that signed, wanted to come home, and now finds himself on waivers. Whether or not they leave remains to be seen, but those are tough conversations to have.
Yeah, and I think just, you know, not only those two players, but this part of the business, as Rhett knows as a player, I don't think, and it's not the fans' job to worry about that or recognize it, but it's a burden that you take seriously, that there is a personal side to this business. You know, listen, we had a barbecue, our owner's barbecue on the Sunday.
How did he get invited, by the way?
Why does
what's the statute of limitations?
Yeah, I don't
that
know.
This bum keeps hanging
around. I think
around.
It's an old mailing list, and it just keeps it's sort of automatically generated.
We gotta kiss up to the secretaries.
We had to look at that again and really scratch some of those names. But we had the barbecue on Sunday, and honestly, you're sitting there and you've got families and everything, and what's going through my mind is you got to make decisions on players. And this is the part that not everybody sees. There's wives and kids and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we all know what going in, that's part of the, it's the miserable side of this job. But I think you have to make decisions. But I think it's important to keep those things in your mind, that there's a right and a wrong way to treat players. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you make decisions for your responsibilities to the hockey club, but I still think you have to treat people the right way, and keep in mind that behind the statistics, and as you said, the cap space, the pure hockey side of it, there is a person, and there's a family on the other side of it. That those aren't fun days and fun decisions.
We've asked you about who you might lose on waivers. Have you looked around? Is there a percentage or likelihood that you would be active in grabbing someone off waivers?
Those are all things that we look at. Absolutely. You look at the waiver wire. Now, you know, it's not necessarily one that there's any surprises. We go through this process, even going back to the deadline, is you have a list of knowing who's going to be turning waiver eligible and when. And it's part of your process, even in the summer, when you're going into the free agent market, before you even go into there, you may look at a team and say, okay, here's team ABC, players under contract, you know, for their defense. They got 9 defense, 2 of them are waiver eligible. These are players that we may want to look at. So there's definitely some players that are out there in organizations that require waivers that we've got circled, and whether they hit the market or not. So we'll definitely monitor it. It's a path to help your team.
How much stock, and I'm guessing a lot, the team's a tight team. You got a great leader, a bunch of guys that like going to the rink together. Has it changed at all since you've been in the game, the dressing room, and do you have a philosophy on that? Like mine was, if any team that I won with, we had a tight team.
Yeah,
the players are different. It's kind of a year-round. I don't know if it's more business, but how do you judge whether they fit in the room, and how much of that is important?
I think it's critical, Rhett. I think it's... Now, it doesn't mean we all have to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, and you're not going to get that. But I think there's a big part of our success. To me, fit and chemistry are often overlooked, and I think they're critical. You know, you can always talk about, well, we've got lots of good players, but it's sort of like jamming the square peg into the round hole. So it comes back to our player evaluation, that character and how they fit, the personality. Like, that's why we try to do as much homework as you can to say, okay, how are they going to fit with our team? You know, we use the Michael Frolik. We knew Michael Frolik. Like, we felt as a player, we knew him. We knew what he can and can't do. We knew what on the ice he was going to, what he was going to bring. We probably spent double the time on the background in talking to players, coaches, trainers. You know, how is he going to fit with our group? You know, Brandon Bullock played with him, and, you know, Yuri Hudler had him in national competition. So you go through the whole process of people that have played with, how is he going to fit? Because I think it's important that the adversity and the challenges and how difficult the league is, you need that bond. You need that sort of pack mentality and that fit and chemistry in the room to get through those times. And I think it's a big part of, you know, the success we had last year. This is, and I think it's grown in terms of, you know, guys are a year older. There's that bond is closer together, a little bit closer together. But I think it's a critical piece of what we're going to be what we do here, and what we'll continue to do is make sure you have to fit. You know, there's a the word culture. It's really important. I think it gets overused and all that type of thing. But we know what
you want.
We
good
are.
People.
We want good people. You can't win otherwise.
Interesting to hear Alex Anthopoulos say the same.
Yeah,
they bring in guys like Russell Martin. They go out and get good quality people. And is it a direct link? No. But it's a heck of a coincidence if there's nothing involved with it.
You give me 20 guys that will compete and play their rear ends off and work and do those things. Now, you need talent and you need ability and you need to, as you build your team, there's different boxes you need to fill. But that character piece is critical.
Can I ask you about Brandon Bolig? Because we watch around the league and he is not that nuclear deterrent. He's not the big, heavy, super heavyweight, but he is a guy who can certainly handle his own. And I know just, you know, fans text in all the time. It's like, well, how can they keep Bolig over this guy? How can they keep Bolig over this guy? I guess my only answer is that you guys covet that role, and he's the one that's best at it within your organization right now. Is that fair? Or what is it about Brandon Bolig that keeps him on this team, aside from his contract? But what is it you like about Bolig in the role, and what is his role within this?
Well, I think Brandon, and he's one guy I would circle right now. He's had a terrific camp. You know, I was actually, we had him and I were talking yesterday. There's been articles, people were asking me the other day, saying, "Oh, he's coming in much better shape and all this." He looks leaner to me, but this is a guy who's in great shape. I mean, he was in great shape last year. He keeps himself very, very fit.
Well, he can just shave and he suddenly looks leaner.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and then he's got the 5 o'clock growth by about 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brandon, to me, this is still, you know, you still need to have size and a physical element to get through the West. And I think throughout the league, but you still need that ability to have a pushback on your team. Brandon provides that. He didn't have the year that he, you know, he'd be the first one to tell you, he didn't have the year that he would have wanted last year. But if you need to look, and when we get into that, into the playoffs, I was real happy that we had Brandon Bolig, you know, when we got into that round with Vancouver. There's still the need to have some bite and some pushback on your team. He provides that. I think our players feel a heck of a lot more comfortable with Brandon in the lineup. And Brandon, I think, is there's more to his game that he's prepared to give this year. And I even saw it in the playoffs. I thought he was an important and improved player in the playoffs. And I think we're going to see that going into this year. If his preseason is any indication, that line, and I think Bob plans to use it in terms of Brandon and Stajan and Jones. It was a real good line. It's big. It's heavy. It can get up and down the ice. But you look at the LAs, you look at the Anaheims, you look at the St. Louis's, you know, you go down the list. The element, the game has changed. That, you're right. The nuclear deterrent that sits at the end of the bench and plays 2 minutes a game and goes out and taps people on the shin pads at faceoffs, you know, those days are gone. But Brandon still provides an element of physicality. You know, he's insulates his teammates. But there's still a player there. Like this guy, he might have the best release and the best shot in our team. And we talk a little bit about the character piece in the room and this guy's loved by his teammates. And so I'm looking forward to a good year from Brandon.
It's funny, I watch him in the playoffs, I'm like, this is why you have Brandon Bolig. I mean, we've been waiting for this all year, and maybe he played better, or maybe it was the style of play suited him more. It's almost like the team you have to get to the playoffs with might not be the team you want to run with when you get into a series where all of a sudden intimidation and physicality seems to be ramped up a ton.
Yeah, no question. And one thing with Brandon, we talked a lot, I think one thing with him, and he'll be the first one to tell you, like, that trade. So Brandon's a young player. He grew up in the Chicago organization. You come in there, you win a Stanley Cup, you know, you got that band of brothers, and then all of a sudden you get a call on draft day that you're gone. And it's a shock to him. Like, I think it took Brandon a while. Brandon was here in September last year. I think January, February, he really now this became home, you know, and it, I think any player that goes through that first trade, especially coming when you've won and those that was a tough thing to leave. Not that he was, you know, not happy to be here or anything like that, but I think that transition took him well. But you're right, Ryan. I think you look at those playoff games, and again, we're not talking about fighting. This isn't about fighting, but you do need to, as I talked when I first came here, there's a heaviness that we want to, and it doesn't happen right away, but I still think to be able to have success, you got to have a heavy team. And that doesn't mean you have to be 6'7" and you have to have, you know, size 15 shoes, but there's a heaviness to your game that as wide open as it is and as fast as it is, you know, the rink shrinks at the most important time of the year. And if you can have that ability to lean on teams, it's important. And he helps us have that element.
You heavy enough?
Not yet. We're not there yet. No, we still got it. We still got work to do. You know, I've asked impolitely at times for everyone that has those heavy players to please give it to us that we're genuinely accepting, but it takes time to get there. But that's one area. And when I talk about heavy too, again, you know, it's being hard on the puck. It's being able to, you know,
heavy's not heavy feet.
Yeah,
heavy's play heavy.
Exactly. Heavy is heavy feet and playing inside and being able to, you know, dictate that part of game, lean on teams. To me, that's, you know, you need it in the regular season, but that's how you wear people down in the playoffs. So we're improved. I think we're better than we were. We're not there yet, though, for where I'd like to be.
Chris Russell's agent, I believe, recently said that contract extension conversations have begun. You've got he and Yuri Hudler, who were significant contributors to last year's club, both coming free July 1st. Can you characterize what's happened there, or at least where you're at in the evolution of a negotiation?
No. I won't.
That's what I'd ask. There you go.
All right, next, honest.
Moving on. Next question.
No, we've got, I think people know that we've got contracts that are coming due. We always take care of that behind closed doors, nothing to report. And I wouldn't believe everything that we read in terms of that. Now, you know, Chris is a good player, really good player, an important player. And we've got a lot of them that need new contracts. So we'll try to work, quickly, smartly, and most of all, quietly, on any of these fronts.
6D. Essentially, to start the year, maybe a little unorthodox, mm-hmm. but I guess, and I know Schmid was talking yesterday that he feels like he's about a week away. Do you agree with his diagnosis?
He was about a week away, according to him, about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So, he, you know, his is interesting in the sense that he's healed.
Yeah.
You know, this when he went through the situation he went through, and when he went and saw the surgeon, they just did it by calendar versus. Okay, we're looking at pictures and this needs a little bit more healing time.
No, this was a neck? Just
yeah, it was basically what it was. I think it was six years ago, he had an operation on his neck. And when it first happened, when the reoccurrence first happened last year, the belief was, or the initial thought was, there was a new injury. What it was the reoccurrence of the old injury. The work that had been done prior sort of broke down.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
wasn't good enough or whatnot. So they repaired, if you will, the original injury. And it's just time. You know, at the time of the injury, they were saying a 6 to 9 month process in terms of recovery. He's now at 8. They wanted to get him to 8. He's chomping at the bit. So he's been doing some bumping and grinding and all that stuff for the last couple of weeks. So he is knocking on the door in terms of being ready to go.
How many points do you need to get in?
I don't know. A lot.
If you get 105,
it's a lot. Yeah.
Are we in?
Yeah.
105 is a lot.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
It's tough. You know, I think it's going to be harder this year. Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to be harder. I don't think, you know, listen, one of the things we talked about when you analyze the schedule and you analyze how many goals you need, and it's a little exercise I like to do, is how many goals you need and how many goals do you sort of have to not give up. And then how to generate X amount of points. But if you look at last year, you know, we didn't give up a point to Edmonton or Arizona. And I think both teams will be, I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not
this
happening
year.
Again. Yeah.
No, I don't think you're going to get that. So it's going to be even more competitive this year. Everybody's gotten better. It's going to be hard.
Well, thanks for doing this. I think we had you till 15. So I apologize about the 4 minutes. Has your phone been buzzing while we've been here?
Yeah. A little bit.
Hanlon's in the other room. Hey,
time to go, Mike. Got to feed the meter. Hey, thanks for coming by. I know we threw it out there on Twitter, and fans were excited to hear about it. Again, because of the year you had, more excitement, again, expectations, but people are jacked. They can't wait for Wednesday.
Well, I know our guys are too. You get through that, you know, that last preseason game, honestly. Now, you want them, it's the last one, it's an important one, because you need to play. You close your eyes and hope nobody gets hurt from my end. But our guys are ready, and we know that there's, you know, it's going to be hard. We're still a young group. We got lots to learn, but we're like the city. We're excited to get going.